Powerball show.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Mara Rubin. Israel has a new plan for Rafah in southern Gaza, evacuate civilians and launch a ground offensive against Hamas.
The order comes ahead of an expected ground invasion of the crowded city on the border with Egypt. The UN estimates more than 1 million Palestinian civilians are sheltering there after fleeing the fighting in other parts of Gaza. UN spokesman Stefan Dujarric is wary of the plan.
We are extremely worried about the fate of civilians.
He also wonders where the civilians will be sent.
We would not support in any way forced displacement.
The Israeli prime minister says Rafah is the last remaining Hamas stronghold and that the militant units there must be collapsed. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
A deadly plane crash in Naples, Florida, Friday, on a major interstate after a jet attempting an emergency landing in I-75 collided with a car and burst into flames. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez says two people died.
We've learned that it was just 3 miles from the runway where it was trying to land in the Naples area. But also the NTSB sent a longer statement about what's going on. They say they do have one investigator already on the ground, but more will arrive. They'll be looking at flight track data, recordings of air traffic control communications, and aircraft maintenance records, of course, also interviewing any survivors and witnesses on the ground.
That plane was flying from Columbus, Ohio, and had five people on board. The White House is slamming the special counsel's comments on the president's memory.
Top White House officials are now saying politics motivated special counsel Robert Hur in his report to describe President Biden as an elderly man with poor memory. Vice President Kamala Harris questioned the special counsel's integrity and said his characterizations of Mr. Biden's memory was politically motivated. Beau Erickson, CBS News, Washington.
Two earthquakes Friday, one in Hawaii. The USGS registered that one at 5.7, and a 4.6 magnitude earthquake was felt in Malibu, California.
I went running out. I just, in the back of my mind, I didn't want to be stuck in an old building, and who knows if it was going to get worse or not.
And a storm system marching across the south this weekend will bring heavy rainfall and flash flooding. There are also threats of damaging wind from Texas to Tennessee. And yes, of course, Sunday is Super Bowl 58 on CBS between the Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers. But it's also Puppy Bowl 20 with 131 adoptable puppies from 73 shelters across the nation. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Hopes for reviving the expanded federal child tax credit got a big boost when the plan recently passed the U.S. House. If it eventually becomes law, advocates for low-income families say it would go a long way in fighting poverty. Here's Mike Mohn.
The U.S. House passed a bipartisan tax bill that includes a 3-year expansion of the child tax credit. Analysts say it isn't as robust as the 1-year expansion from 2021, but a key provision would allow families with little or no income to gain eligibility. Tim Smeeting, a retired economist with the University of Wisconsin, says it could allow struggling households to address a big expense they haven't been able to cover.
You can pay heating bills that you've let go because you know that the utility won't shut you off.
He says eliminating those debts frees up money for families to spend on children's needs. Despite bipartisan support in the House, the bill faces an uncertain future in the Senate, with pushback from both Republicans and Democrats. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities estimates that in the first year, expanding the child tax credit would lift as many as 400,000 kids above the poverty line. The center's Chris Cox says while there are calls to bring back the original expansion, this bill would still make a difference.
Half of kids who don't get the full credit now, their families will gain $600 or more from the bill. And about 40% of kids who don't get the full credit now, their families will gain $1,000 or more from this bill.
Bill sponsors hope to get final approval so qualifying households could claim the credit on this year's taxes. Cox says if you file earlier, the measure instructs the IRS to make good on your return. Wisconsin has an earned income tax credit, but the state is often cited as having a regressive tax structure that hurts low-income households. Experts say the federal plan would ease that burden. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the upper 20s. And partly sunny into tomorrow, high mid-30s. A mix of sun and clouds and a high in the upper 30s Sunday. The warmth continues into early next week. Sunshine at around 40 degrees for Monday and Tuesday. It's 28 degrees right now.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the wonderful and talented Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday, February 9th, 2024. Getting ready for Super Bowl 53. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you?
I'm doing all right, but I mean, speaking of Super Bowl 53, if you're watching the stream, you may notice, and they have noticed, the people have commented already, yes. Todd's wearing a Packers shirt.
Well, you have to hope. You have to keep hope. As Jesse Jackson said at the Democratic National Convention in 1988, keep hope alive. We're keeping hope alive. Maybe the Packers can get there next year.
Yeah, Papa Rico and PJ saying, like, why are you wearing a Packers shirt? Why not Kansas City?
Well,
and now Papa Rico says we need to do a GoFundMe for a Kansas City shirt for you and for your Green Bay parking tickets.
Yes, thank you, Papa Rico. Absolutely. For those who didn't hear, I was in Green Bay earlier this week and got a $22 parking ticket and then found out I had a one that was 2 or 3 months old, $22, cost me $105. I had to go through a bunch of hoops. Anyway, I got it done. But yes, look, for those who don't, I am supporting the Kansas City Chiefs this week. I want them to win. I am Team Taylor. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. And actually, just from a football perspective, I just think that the Chiefs are being underestimated in this game. But more on that a little bit later with our first guest, Brady Ewing, who is a 3-time Big Ten champion and played in the NFL for 3 years as a fullback. Brady will be along at 12:30 to preview the Super Bowl. And then in hour number two, we have Peter Rapine from EPOM's World with a wonderful look at Week in Review. Always fantastic, because the great thing about EPOM's World and this Week in Review with Peter Rapine is that it's not fiction. This is not made up stuff. These are the ridiculously over the top, stupid thing that real humans actually do. Which I find fantastic.
Oh yeah, they're the stories you really want to hear to get your weekend going on a light note.
Right. And we're going to do a little Super Bowl preview. Also talk about something very serious and thankful that no one apparently was severely hurt. There were no deaths, but we talked about this a little bit yesterday, that the local weather people here in South Central Wisconsin were a bit giddy over the prospect that there could be a tornado, because there's never been an official tornado in Wisconsin in February until last night. And indeed, just as we talked about and kind of predicted, the sun came out here and temperatures warmed up into the mid-50s, and that's all it took. And it started south of Monroe and Greene County, went all the way up through Greene County and maybe a little bit of Rock and then into Dane, and there was a tornado that did touch down and did quite a bit of damage. And now, Wisconsin Consumer Protection warning about storm chasing scams. And we're going to talk about that. And also, scams are up in general. Who gets scammed the most, young people or old people? It might surprise you. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as well. But right now, I want to get to the headlines of the day. And look, I don't want to spend a lot because this broke yesterday when we were on the air. And the report came out from the Justice Department saying that President Joe Biden is not going to be indicted for having these classified documents in his home. Unlike former President Trump, who is under indictment for a similar charge. If you read the report, what the special counsel Hur, a Trump appointee, is saying is basically because Joe Biden did not intentionally withhold this, that once the documents were discovered, Joe Biden and his staff fully cooperated. Joe Biden voluntarily sat down for a 5-hour interview. And because of his cooperation and because there does not appear to be any malice intent on Joe Biden, he's not going to be indicted. Unlike Donald Trump, the report says, that alleges that Trump intentionally tried to hide, evade, and interfere with the Justice Department's investigation. That is the headline. All right, that is what's going on. Now, after this came out, President Biden last night, or late yesterday afternoon, a little after 5 o'clock local time, decided to have a press conference, which is fine. I'm all for presidents going out and being in the public. But what happened was a reporter started kind of badgering the president on another part of this report. And this is where it gets goofy. This special prosecutor, Hur, who's an attorney, a Trump appointee, decides to, I guess, apparently say he has a degree in neurology as well. And in this report makes comments on Joe Biden in terms of his mental acuity, his ability to remember things. And this is what transpired yesterday. We're not going to avoid it. We're going to play it for you, and then we're going to talk about it. Here is the part of the press conference at the end from yesterday.
President Biden, something the special counsel said in his report is that one of the reasons you were not charged is because, in his description, you are a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
I'm well-meaning, and I'm an elderly man, and I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been president. I put this country back on its feet. I don't need his recommendation. It's
how
totally
bad is your memory, and can you continue as president?
My memory is so bad, I let you speak.
Do you feel your memory has gotten worse, Mr. President?
My memory is not good. My memory is fine.
For months, when you were asked about your age, you would respond with the words, "Watch me." Watch Many me. American people have been watching, and they have expressed concerns about your age.
That is your judgment. That is not the judgment of the press. As you know, initially, the president of Mexico, Sisi, did not want to open up the gate to allow humanitarian material to get in. I talked to him. I convinced him to open the gate.
Mexico?
So that was just to be clear, that was audio that we obtained from CNN from the coverage yesterday, and that was spliced at the end. It wasn't, you could kind of tell there. So that interchanged the reporter saying, you know, this, it says in the report that you're an elderly person. Biden said, yeah, I'm elderly. By definition, elderly means an old, aging person. You know, I'm 80 years old. And the reporter says, well, you know, is there anything wrong with your memory? And Biden makes a joke. You know, yeah, my memory is so bad, I called on you. I shouldn't have done that, basically, is what he's saying. And this reporter keeps badgering him. And then it cuts to later in the press conference where Biden is talking about working with Egypt to help get Palestinians out of Gaza. And he simply uses the president's name, or it says Mexico instead of Egypt. Look, the guy's dealing with a lot of stuff. And we have not played every single clip of Donald Trump when he mixes stuff up. And when Donald Trump mixed up Nancy Pelosi and Nikki Haley, I think we used that one, but there are multiple other ones. We haven't gone down that road on this show. And so look, both of these guys are well, Trump's just under 80, Biden's 80. You know, you're going to mix some things up. That's very different than an ongoing pattern here. And the fact is that this guy, Hur, who is the special prosecutor, it's not his place to give a neurological opinion of Joe Biden's mind in this report. The report is supposed to be, is Joe Biden, does it rise to the point of indictment? And they talked about this on Morning Joe on MSNBC this morning. And this is a great point. It used to be in the court system in this country, prior to James Comey in 2016, you did an investigation, and if there was evidence to indict him, you indicted him. And if not, you released a one-sentence report or finding that says there is not evidence for indictment, period. James Comey changed all that when he didn't have the evidence to indict Hillary Clinton, but he went out and held a press conference and politically indicted her. Now, we have this guy, her, a Trump appointee, apparently giving a wink and a nod to his friend Donald Trump, saying, look, I can't take the guy to court, but I'll put stuff in here that you can use to politically indict him. The headline is Joe Biden's not indicted. The headline is there's no evidence to put Joe Biden behind bars, unlike Donald Trump. That's the headline. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, still good to have you on the line. Thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, thank you so much. I'll try to make it brief and to the point. One thing that we all have to remember is Biden lost his son in one of the most difficult bereavements to deal with is losing a child. He went through it. He went through his son's suffering and pain and death. Now, Joe Biden, and the symptoms with this include memory issues, distractions, and anybody who's lost somebody knows the whole thing. Now, he had an opportunity, and probably a shoe-in, to become the next president of the United States, but he declined to deal with his son's, the loss of his son. And then, as he got stronger, and he saw what the devil was going on in our country, and his experience, because, boy, oh, boy, we needed his experience with Trump making enemies of all the people. I watched him shove people out of the way. I watched live at the United Nations when he was shoving people out of the way because he wanted to get up there in the front. I mean, people need to effing wake up. This is unbelievable. And so anyway, so this guy waits, okay, and he waits till he's enough, healed enough to run for president because he is worried. He's not doing it for power. He's not doing it for money. He's not doing it for self-esteem. He's a workhorse, not a show horse. We need his experience. And then he did get up and say, well, I didn't have any memory issues because, and they brought up his son. What an awful thing to do, you know, with his son, who just still has a heart. And here's a guy who meets with people who loses their children to gunfire, to people who loses people in the military instead of saying, calling them losers and stuff. This guy cares. And when he makes mistakes and he's fighting back here, he cares. And when you're old, and I'm 69, and when I get emotional, sometimes stuff comes out that shouldn't because I don't have the whole back like I used to and because things really get to me. So I have to say, I really do support our president. I hope people don't fall for this because we got a man that trashes women. I mean, he's going after Haley. Gene, I mean, come on.
Gene, we're up against the clock, but keep that passion. Keep that fire. You're absolutely right. Gene from Eau Claire, 844-967-2789. Calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Super Bowl Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocate.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Do you remember?
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Friday, February 9th, 2024. Glad to have you along talking about the headline of the day. Joe Biden found not guilty. No evidence or clear evidence to indict him on withholding of classified documents. That's the headline. Despite what Prosecutor Herr is doing politically to Joe Biden, bringing up things that really don't matter in the legal courts in terms of his memory. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Susan from her car. Susan, glad to have you along. What say you? Susan, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead, Susan.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's kind of appropriate because I did listen to the Rachel Maddow podcast this morning, and it was a show from last night, and they really discussed that about how Herd had actually put in a lot of information that wasn't appropriate or even had to do with anything, because the only thing he had to decide was whether or not Joe Biden obstructed justice, did it intentionally, and I think there's a third thing I don't recall. That's because I'm old, you know, so I can't recall that. But anyway, the idea is that we just have to really fight against this disinformation, because it's going to come out in spades. So I just really appreciate your lead-in on this, and the fact is that that's where we have to keep our heads in the game, is that, you know, he wasn't found guilty. There was really, it doesn't matter what this Herd person thinks, because that's one person's opinion, not everybody's opinion. So,
yep.
Anyway, that was all my comment. Thank you.
Really appreciate it, Susan. Thank you so much. Susan brings this up. Gene from Eau Claire brought it up earlier. They go through there in this report, Herd does, and brings up the fact that they asked Biden a bunch of things. Like, and they bring that one of his responses was, well, let's see now, was I vice president then or not? He said that out loud. And they're using that as evidence to say his memory isn't good. Well, you know what? I'm doing my annual review here at Civic Media, by the way, today. Good luck, Todd. Thank you very much. Anyway, and I had to go back through and kind of say, a year and 4 months since I've been here, what have I done? I didn't remember. If you would have asked me, Todd, when did the show go statewide last year? Mr. Sommers, can you answer that? Give me the date we went statewide last year.
See? Because I just played September, I'm going to say September 21st, even though that's before the show started.
we went statewide on June 5th. Now, if you would have asked me, Todd, when did the show go statewide? I probably would have said, I don't know, May or June.
Right.
That's a natural reaction. So as for, I mean, think of Joe Biden's career. So he's just wondering out loud, trying not to lie under oath. And he says, now let's see, was I president or vice president then or not? I mean, it's a trap. I mean, right out of the line from Star Wars, right? It's a trap. So, I mean, the headline is that Joe Biden is not found guilty. There's no indictment. There is no evidence to indict him, unlike Donald Trump. 844-967-2789. Mark calling in from Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Well, Herd is a word that rhymes with something, brings the T. I can't quite say that on the air right now. I mean, it is just ridiculous because, you remember that things that you hear right away, you know, sometimes you remember and recall it right away, and other times the guy that's running around the lumber room in your head, you know, finally finds the memory and drags it out, you know, that it pops into your head,
right,
you know, some hours later sometimes. And it just, he did this to serve Donald Trump. What gets me now is Donald Trump has his tribe of acolytes that, you know, are willing to do whatever it takes for Donald Trump. And Herd should probably be, looked up at a bar for coming out with this kind of this stuff right now. I mean, do you see today that, you know, at least Stefanik is saying that she wouldn't have done what Mike Pence did and actually certify the election, you know, that,
right,
you know, that doing some more ceremonial duty. I mean, it is just it's just remarkable. I mean, I think about, you know, memories that I have from, you know, from decades and decades ago that are crisp and fresh in my head. But some of the stuff that happens, you know, that, you know, like, what did I have for breakfast this morning? Well, I kind of, usually it's the same thing, so I could rattle that off. But I mean, that the absolute ridiculousness of this, and that the media is going to latch onto this and not go over what is really important, the fact that we are facing a crisis in Ukraine, a crisis in Israel, a crisis, you know, that Republicans don't want to handle at the border, which they could handle, but it is just another distraction in the service of Donald J. Trump, who is a proficient liar. And I mean, that Donald Trump is a one-trick pony. He lies.
Yeah.
That's Donald Trump. That's the trick that he has. And that...
I appreciate the call, Mark. Thanks a lot, Mark. Mark calling in from Pernissac. Again, if you actually have serious, legitimate neurological memory problems, there's a pattern. And that can be diagnosed through a series of tests with a neurologist. Not by a lawyer, as it turns out. The lawyer assessed the legal situation, and again, the evidence shows that there's not enough evidence to say that Joe Biden did anything illegal or rose to the point where he should be indicted. That's the headline. 844-967-2789. Kurt, listening in on WMDX in Madison. Kurt, thanks for calling. What say you?
Yeah, let's first all agree that HER has no professional training to determine anyone's cognitive ability, not much less his own.
Agreed.
But let's also look at the larger problem here. Garland could have restricted he could have blacklined anything he wanted before that her gave his little speech. Mm-hmm. And I am fed up that the Democrats, and I'm sorry, this is President Biden, feel like it's too risky to fire Garland. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to bring the hammer down. Start showing, you know, he has been doing an excellent job, but he's got to start showing he's not going to take crap anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Garland is feckless, and this was handled so terribly. That's all I got.
Appreciate it, Kurt. Great call. Really appreciate it. Actually, off the text line, remember, you can text us via the Civic Media app on either the Apple or Android device. Jake, listening in on WAUK, the Shaw from Milwaukee. Jake says, Merrick Garland has to go. Federal society... can't say that word. Our treasonous by nature. Sorry, it's been one of those days. Sycophants are treasonous by nature. So yeah, I mean, I again, Merrick Garland, as the attorney general, could have said to the special prosecutor, no, we're not doing that part of it. We're not going to say that. I think Merrick Garland's going out of his way to say, well, look, I don't want to interfere. Which is great. I like that about Merrick Garland. But there's no reason to allow your subordinate to go out and politically do a hatchet job and do the same thing that James Comey did to Hillary Clinton. It doesn't add up. The headline is Joe Biden, there is not enough evidence to indict him. He's innocent. 844-967-2789. Stoughton and CJ. CJ, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Todd. What he did say, he did willfully retain documents, and he's unfit to even stand trial because, what is he, an angry old gentleman? And, you know, his press conference last night, he even caused more issues because he called the president of Egypt the Mexican president, Sisi. The guy's a disaster.
Donald Trump has done it time and time again. We can play cuts from Trump. We can play Trumps from Biden. Guess what? They're both 80 years old. They forget things sometimes. I don't forget Brady Ewing, though, because he's coming up next, talking about the Super Bowl, a Super Bowl Friday on the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Israel's prime minister said yesterday he wanted to evacuate civilians out of Rafah. Today, there were reports airstrikes have killed at least 28 Palestinians. CBS's Deborah Pata.
He said that it's impossible to achieve the goal of war without eliminating Hamas, but the civilians have to evacuate. He wants to do both.
Two people are dead after a small plane attempted an emergency landing on an interstate near the airport in Naples, Florida. Joe Robinson drove by the fiery crash.
Just passing the wreckage and seeing how bad it was, it's tough to fathom anybody could survive a crash like that. So that's obviously a horrible thing to see.
But three people did survive. Ian Sams with the White House Counsel's Office says they're working on a better way to handle documents after leaving office.
The president's going to appoint a task force to review how transitions look at classified material to ensure that there are better processes in place.
CBS News Brief, I'm Aaron Rubin.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks finally get a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. At Super Bowl 58 with sports, the Bucks outplayed the Hornets to a 120-84 win for Milwaukee. Doc Rivers says the Bucks are adapting to his changes on defense.
I thought our defensive execution, I didn't see our guards get picked tonight. Like, they got over picks tonight, you know.
NFL, Jordan Love here at the Super Bowl, making appearances and doing some interviews. I asked him, what was the turning point for the Packers last season?
Man, there are so many things. I don't think you can pinpoint one thing that turned a point in the season. I think it's just a collection of being together through a whole year. Obviously, we had a lot of young guys that haven't been together. So just building that connection every day in the facility. Obviously, we did some things outside of the facility to help grow that bond. But, man, it's just a collection of everything we do as a team, the walkthroughs we do. And everybody's excited to show up to work and find ways to get better.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. From Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the low 30s. Northwest winds at about 15 to 20 miles per hour. Clear tonight, 19. Becoming sunny on your Sunday, a little breezy again with highs in the mid-30s. 39 on Monday, 37 on your Tuesday. Right now, it's 28.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories, will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy. People are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alma Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, home of Super Bowl 53 at WRCO FM 100.9 in Richland Center. What an open. See, if we had that every day, Mr. Zomers, think of the show we could do.
We probably could use it. Well, right? We could use it every day, but I wonder how many days you have to use it in a row before CBS contacts you.
We're a CBS News affiliate on some of our stations, so I think that makes it fine.
Okay, at least it makes it fine enough.
I'm going with that. It's 35 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. In fact, it is Super Bowl Friday, the Friday before Super Bowl 53 can be seen on television on the CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System Television Network, and on Civic Media as well, at least via one of our stations in Southwest Wisconsin. I would argue, I'm partial, and I think our next guest is partial as well. I would argue the best station in the Civic Media Network, WRCO FM 100.9 in Richland Center, joining us live from the RC, none other than three-time Big Ten champion in football for the Wisconsin Badgers and played 3 years in the NFL for Atlanta and Jacksonville, respectively. He is Brady Ewing, the fullback of all time. Brady, how the heck are you?
Doing great. Thanks for the introduction, Matt. That little intro coming off the commercial break got me fired up,
right?
Too.
I mean,
you have some intensity in your voice, Todd.
Well, you know, it's Friday. It's the Super Bowl. I went out. You can't see it on the, I'm holding it up for those watching on the stream. Mr. Zomers and I have our official Super Bowl 53 cups from Las Vegas. And we went out and got some plates, and we have some Super Bowl food. We have a little cheese, some Wisconsin cheese, some beef sticks, crackers, some shrimp, and you know, some brownies. And so there, what more do you need for a Super Bowl weekend, Brady?
Not much. Rachel and I were brainstorming what kind of snacky foods we wanted to make for the game too. So I enjoy that. If I don't have too much of a vested interest in the game, just as much as the game and commercials itself.
Right.
Some good food.
That's what it's about, right? So did you guys growing up, I mean, your brothers and sisters, mom and dad, was it kind of a holiday in your household as well, where it didn't really matter who was in the Super Bowl? I mean, always better if the Packers are there, but if they're not, is it kind of a holiday to sit around and just get together?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brandon was trying to coordinate something for this year. I don't know, with all the grandkids and everything, how mm-hmm. much of the game we'd actually get to watch if we did that and got everybody together. But absolutely, my mom for family get-togethers or events like this is kind of an over-preparer and over-cooker. And so, much like holidays, she made way too much food, just had a smorgasbord of different things and treats to snack on throughout the game. And Brandon, my brother, was always big on watching the Puppy Bowl, before the actual Super Bowl itself kicked off.
That's fantastic. Now, this is completely off subject, but you brought up your lovely and talented wife here. And how many boys do you guys have? How many sons do you have between you?
We have four boys.
Yeah, four boys.
Nine down to just turned three.
Now, see, I don't want to get involved in your personal life, but I'm thinking just one more, because I thought that, what brought this to mind was that we have all these bets, right? It's out, the Super Bowl is in Vegas. People are betting on everything from, will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift at the end of the game, to will she join Usher for a song at halftime, what the score of the game is, all these things. And I thought to myself, nothing better than a good bar bet, right? A good bar bet. And if Brady and Rachel only had mm-hmm. one more son, you could walk in. And here's what happens. Brady, when he was playing, was, very, a muscular dude. But just like Joe Thomas after he retired from the NFL, you guys trimmed down a little bit. So to see you on the street, you wouldn't necessarily think that, this guy played in the NFL for 3 years. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if you had one more son, you could walk into any bar in Richland Center, or now not Richland Center because people know you, but like go to Milwaukee and walk into a bar and say, $50, two truths and a lie. I played three seasons in the NFL. I have sired enough sons to have my own starting five, or I shot a 20-point buck. You'd win that. You'd win that.
Hey, I am horrible at that true truths and a lie game.
Right?
So I, other than maybe the having the fifth son, I would I might steal some of that from you down the road.
I think so.
If I'm mingling with the right crowd.
Right. Absolutely. I think it's a winner, Brady. I think it's a winner chicken dinner. You did spend 3 years in the NFL. You played for, by the way, you played for the Atlanta Falcons. You got drafted by them, and then played for Jacksonville. And by the way, I'm still getting, I'm not lying, this happened this morning. I'm still getting emails from the Atlanta Falcons gift shop that I cannot cancel after all these years.
You got to unsubscribe, man.
I know. I have in my closet, I still have an Atlanta Falcons t-shirt and an Atlanta Falcons cap, only because of Brady Ewing. But you spent 3 years in the NFL. Here, I want to get your take, of course, on the game, but here's something that came up across the wires. I love this. The 49ers could get an unexpected boost from a key position if the Super Bowl trend continues. And, of course, we're talking about the kickers, right? And if there's one position where Kansas City should have a huge advantage, it's the kicker. The Chiefs will be going into the game with Harrison. Is it Harrison Butker? Is that how you pronounce his name? Who was the fourth most accurate kicker in the NFL this season, where he hit a career-high 94.3% of his field goal attempts. However, on the other hand, the 49ers will be going into the game with rookie Jake Moody, who is ranked 20th overall in accuracy. First of all, very unfortunate. I mean, you do not want a Moody kicker, right, Brady? And the fact that his last name is Moody. So what, you played at Wisconsin for 4 years. You won three Big Ten championships. You're in the NFL. What's the deal with kickers? And does the rest of the team get spooked when it comes down to the kicker?
You know, every team's different with that. But the ones I've been a part of, the kickers are kind of a different breed. They're a part of the team. You know, they do a lot of the team functions with the team, but at the same time, they are kind of loners, those specialists, as they call. So the kickers, punters, maybe long snappers, you know, they kind of do their own thing before practice, even during practice, outside of the, you know, special teams period that are kind of designated for special teams practice. They kind of do their own thing. And even if you look on the sidelines, a lot of time they're doing their own thing. They're in their own mind space, their own head space, and getting prepared for kicks or trying to recover from kicks. But especially in big games, I mean, it always seems like, you know, field goals or field position with punting, all of that stuff gets magnified in its importance in a big game like this, whether it's a big bowl game, Super Bowl playoff game, whatever it may be, that stuff gets magnified. And I think a lot of these listeners here probably, you know, tend to be Packer fans, and we saw it at different points in the season down the stretch with a young kicker.
Yeah.
They all of them handle adversity a little bit different in that, you know, being on that stage for the first time, a little bit different. So it'll be would be a factor, I would imagine.
And does the rest of the team, when you know, you're like, there's 5 minutes left of the game and you got to get a first down or else you're going to have to kick it. People are ever probably going to admit this, but I mean, I'm not telling you to call somebody out, but I mean, in your head, or the guys on the line think, oh my God, we got to get this first down because, you know, if it comes down to Joe, we're screwed. I mean, does that ever roll through your head?
Not for me personally, no. And I'm not just trying to give you the politically correct answer, but at the same time, they're still a part of the team, you know, and at least the teams I was fortunate to be a part of, it was very much a team atmosphere, team culture. So even if we had a receiver that was, you know, struggling to catch the ball, or a fullback struggling to, you know, get their read and make their lead block to help spring a run, it was, you know, it was more of an encouragement. So if we had a kicker that was struggling, it was, you know, pat him on the helmet, pat him on the shoulder, and, you know, try to keep his mind in it. And keep things positive and reinforced. And that's, I guess, been most of my experience. But I could see, you know, with coaches, I mean, they have to be very mindful of that stuff. Right. And, you know, if you got a 3rd and 4 and you're kind of on the fringe of field goal position, you may be looking at that as either, okay, we try to get the first down, and if not, kick. Or we can look at it as we have 2 more downs to play. Right. We have a 3rd and 4th down. And, you know, you can make your play selection accordingly, based on whatever the situation is, the, you know, yardage you're on and your kicker's ability.
But so, I think that's very interesting. And by the way, we are talking with Brady Ewing live from Richland Center in Southwest Wisconsin. He is a 3-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badgers, went to 3 Rose Bowls, and then spent 3 years in the NFC. or the NFC playing for Atlanta, and well, you're the AFC with right? AFC with Jacksonville.
Jaguars. Yep.
Three seems to be your number. Three Big Ten championships, three Rose Bowls, 3 years in the NFL. But I think you give some insight here, Brady, that not many people can. Because from a goofy fan perspective, like Todd, I mean, I'm just like, oh, my God, the rest of the team. I mean, those poor guys, they've worked the whole game and it comes down to one person. But see, I think this is fantastic because you're saying what players say post-game is not just hyperbole or fluff or BS, that if you're on a good team, you're not blaming one person. It really does come down to, because if the team does well, right, if the defense held the other team or if the offense scored more, it shouldn't come down to just a kick.
That's right. You see those plays in every game where it's like, oh, that the Packer game, for instance. I don't remember if we've talked since then, but you know, a couple dropped interceptions that could have totally changed the trajectory of that game, or you know, a couple dropped passes there. I mean, you can point to four or five plays that are kind of a banner play that impact the outcome of a game.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many others as you start watching film, you know, three, four times as you digest that game as a player, as a coach, so many plays that have led to that 1 to 4 or 5 moments that, you know, as a fan are easy to grasp onto as, you know, ones that impacted the game.
So it's, go ahead.
It's by no means, you know, just hyperbole or cliche speak from the players. Mm-hmm. I'd say most of the teams you're a part of have a very team-focused atmosphere, and it's very genuine. And maybe after the fact, as you look back, you know, in the offseason or later, you know, years down the road, it's like, man, if we would have had a better kicker in the example we're using here, you know, maybe some of those thoughts start to creep in at that time. But when you're in the moment, you're in the culture, you're in the grind together, it's very much a team-focused atmosphere from what I've experienced.
All right, we spent 15 minutes talking about football. Let's get down to the serious part of the game, Taylor Swift. Where do you come down, Brady Ewing, on? See, now here's my, I'm going to tell you my take, and you feel free to push back and disagree. I think it's great for the game. I think it's great for exposure. I think it's great for women, as particularly young women. And for the 24 seconds that she averages on TV during an NFL game, I think it's great, and I don't understand the hate, but what say you?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, actually, Todd. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm actually a Taylor Swift fan. I used to get some grief back in like high school, college. She was,
did you really?
I had some of her songs on my pregame mixtape on my MP3 player. Taylor Swift made an appearance on multiple songs. So
yes!
I'm a Swiftie at heart, you know, in a little way. And so I don't mind it. It is good exposure for the game, you know, bringing in a little bit different audience. I could do without all of the, you know, the articles and the discussions and, you know, the over analysis of it all, because it's like, hey, she's a fan. She's dating one of them. She's a big deal, but let's let it go. And,
would you, if you were,
they probably have some bets on over under how many times she's going to be showing.
Absolutely. That's more than some of the betting in Vegas right now. The over under was how many minutes, how many seconds is she going to be on TV right now? But if you were playing for the Chiefs, Brady, have you spent, 3 years on an NFL team? Would you find it a distraction, or would you just be like, yeah, it's just one of the guys dating somebody?
It would be more of the latter. I mean, it's just one of the guys dating somebody. It would be more of a distraction because everybody would probably be asking you about it outside of the facility you know, people would probably be texting you about it, or, you know, if you bump into them in the community or whatever. So it's good. It's good for the game. It's kind of been blown out of proportion, but I don't mind it. I think it's cool.
And really, if there's anything that we could do here on the Todd Allball Show, it's blow things out of proportion even more.
breaking news.
This is one of the many reasons I love Brady Ewing. He's a Swiftie at heart. Back with more with Brady Ewing on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Super Bowl Friday on the Civic Media Ready Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. So, for Matt and Aaron,
you're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Take a deep breath and you walk through the doors. It's the morning of your very first day. You say hi to your friends you ain't seen in a while. Try and stay out of everybody's way. It's your freshman year.
Welcome back to the Todd Humble Show on the CBS Network, on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's now 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. A little play song there from Brady Ewing's Spotify, Mr. Sommers. What do we got there?
I hope I got the right one. He had said 17, and this is 15. Oh. I think that's the right song. I don't know.
Brady, are we right or are we wrong? Is that really one of your? Is that wrong?
No, that's one of the top ones. When I say I'm a Swiftie at heart, I'm going back to, you know, high school, college days, and some of her old stuff.
So sure. Now we're qualifying it. Now you know he. If Joe Thomas is listening, oh God, no, I'm not a Swiftie. No.
I second guessed myself after the commercial break. No, I'm just kidding. I do like Taylor Swift stuff, but it's more, you know, her older stuff.
I haven't listened to a ton of her new stuff.
But.
More the country Taylor Swift rather than the pop Taylor Swift,
that's
perhaps.
Right. All right. That's right. Yeah. Yep, yeah. Exactly.
But the bottom line here is that there's room for everybody in the NFL, right? I mean, it's why it's the most popular sport in America, right? I mean, people, it doesn't really matter whether you're a hardcore football person or NFL person. As we pointed out earlier, it's a time for family and friends together and see what the commercials are going to do this year. And then, oh, by the way, there's a football game.
That's right. That's the icing on the cake, right? You get the snacks, you get the commercials, you get the puppy bowl, and then hopefully get a competitive game and, you know, can be entertainment for all.
I know Brady's family and I know his brother, and I think it's fantastic that Brandon is into the puppy bowl. We should have had him on to talk about that.
Oh my gosh, he would have too.
All right.
It was always a staple. He was always looking for something to do leading into the game, so that was the thing that filled the void.
Well, we'll have one in a future show. All right, Brady, let's get down to the game itself. You got the 49ers and the Chiefs. Who do you like?
I like the Chiefs. I think as you get on this stage and you prepare for the game, you have the week leading up to the game, you got to handle all the things that are outside the game. I say as a former player that is going to play into things here where you look at the Chiefs, they've experienced this. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had to worry about getting their family tickets and the travel, getting their family travel down to the game or out to the game, wherever it's at. You know, just the distraction of media throughout the week. There's a lot of different responsibilities that they have. A lot of the key cogs on Kansas City have experienced that. And so I think that, along with just how they've played and ramped up through the playoffs, is going to put them in line for a W. I think 49ers have snuck by on a few games. Mm-hmm. So maybe if they put a full game together, you know, they'll be right there. But I'm still taking the Chiefs on top. How about yourself?
I totally agree. Well, which might be bad news because we both picked Wisconsin to win the Big Ten this year in football. but
undefeated.
No, undefeated. Yeah, we'll put that on there for icing on the cake. No, I agree with you. I think the Packers and the Lions both exposed the weakness of San Francisco's defense. You know, he was on ESPN for years. Now he's with Fox, Chris the Bear, Felica. He started at the beginning of that game with Detroit, and he tweeted out, he's like, the 49ers, what do you say? The 49ers defense stinks. And then towards later on, towards halftime, he said, check that. The 49ers defense is terrible. And you know, the 49ers came back and won it, of course. But I just think that, that as you said, the experience of Kansas City, you can't give. I mean, Brock Purdy's had a great year. I think you know, Patrick Mahomes is just the best right now in the business at his position. I think it's going to be the Chiefs by two touchdowns.
Oh, big margin.
Yeah. I just think that's how good they are. But we'll see. Now that we've both chosen them, that's probably great news for 49ers fans.
we got to be careful.
I know. Give us your take quickly, Brady. What do you think? We haven't not talked since the end of the Packers season, but boy, they got a lot further than a lot of people thought they would, and they probably could have, should have won that game against the 49ers. And I think if they would have won that, I think they win at Detroit, and I actually think they're playing this weekend. What say you?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, Detroit would have been a tough matchup for them just based on personnel and being at Detroit and where they were at in their season. But I liked how the Packers ended the season. I think they were peaking at the right time. You know, Jordan Love and some of those young receivers really started to come on. The defense was clicking. And, man, it was fun to watch their progression. It is such a long season in the NFL, especially as they've, you know, changed some things in the amount of preseason, regular season games, that you really have to look at it as a journey. And it's not, you know, who a team is in the first 4 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks can totally change as the years progress. So, it was great to see. And I think there's a solid foundation there. I don't know much about their free agency and all that, but there's a solid foundation to build on with Love and some of the other young players that they got
based on the queue and
are developing.
Based on the fact of how far they got, what constitutes success in your mind for the Packers next season? How far do they have to go?
Man, that's a tough question. I would say, I mean, you'd like them to take that next step, right? And the championship, NFC championship, or Super Bowl. But I mean, it is so hard to get to that level in that competition to play. There's so many variables that go into it. You could have a fantastic team that is a Super Bowl caliber team that, you know, certain things don't fall your way on a certain game day and things change. So I hate to put one destination as what, you know, says success for the season, but I'm sure for them it's going to be the Super Bowl and kind of build into that point throughout the year next year.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think Jordan Love really came into his own this season. I think the Packers did a good job overall. I think it shows when Matt LaFleur is left to his own devices to actually run his offense, what it could actually look like. I think it was a big success for him. And we'll see about that. What do you know about this this new defensive coordinator for the Packers? Anything?
Yeah, not much.
Yeah.
To be honest, I haven't researched it much. I know people were hopeful that, you know, Jimmy Leonard was in those talks.
Right.
I have no idea if he was or wasn't. I think he, would have been a great fit based on his experience and everything. But
we have 30 seconds left, Brady. Give us your number one Super Bowl drink and your number one Super Bowl food.
Oh, man, this is going to sound super lame, like bad joke-esque, but I have been so into tea right now, unsweetened tea, just normal, no flavor.
Wow.
Yeah, and then what was the second part of your
favorite food for Super Bowl, yeah.
Oh, buffalo wings for sure.
Buffalo wings and sweet tea. Brady Ewing, a new healthy Brady. Thanks so much, Brady. We appreciate it. Talk to you in a couple of weeks. Happy Super Bowl. Back with Hour 2 after this on the Pacific Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allbald. Noon to 3 on Monday, we have a cure for your Monday blues and also a look back at what happened over the weekend. Join us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.